Blog Talk Radio.
Through early morning fog I see visions of the things to be, the pains that are withheld for me. I realize and I can see that suicide is painless. It brings on many changes, and I can take or leave it if I please. The game of life is hard to play. I'm gonna lose it anyway. The losing card I'll someday lay. So this is all I have to say. Suicide is painless. It brings on many changes. And I can take or leave it if I please.
That song so much. Kind of morbid, isn't it? Today's date is June 29th. Beautiful Washington, D.C. Planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and you're on live with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. As I stated in earlier broadcast, not a lot of people are aware, at least to my knowledge, in my experience, that there are actual words to that, to the MASH theme. Just as I am almost certain, quite certain, that a lot of people who are fans of Star Trek do not know that, unless you're really, you know, you're really deep into the Star Trek series and the phenomenon that was Star Trek, you really, folks don't really know that there are actual words to the Star Trek theme as well. And I happen to know those words. One day I'm going to break out my Star Trek album and digitize my the Star Trek theme with the actual words to it. And the words were actually written by Gene Roddenberry. Now, I grew up a Star Trek fan like a lot of folks. I once wrote a letter to Gene Roddenberry expressing my gratitude for the series and how I thought that a lot of the lessons learned in the series, because there were a lot of morality plays in the series that really kind of shaped my, you know, my life, my upbringing, along with, you know, of course, my parents, who were the ultimate influence. But I wrote a letter expressing that, and he actually wrote back, and I have the letter. I framed it. It's right up here on my wall. He wrote back a handwritten letter to me. It's two pages, and It's one of the things I cherish most in my life. The letter that was written to me, a handwritten letter in response to my letter to Gene Roddenberry. But on with the show. Big mess going on today. I was saddened and altogether thrilled when Barack Obama gave his speech earlier today, because that clown continues to put his foot in his mouth and say really stupid things. And although I was not at all pleased with what he had to say, when listening to it, I just thought that this is simply going to hasten his exit from the world stage, or at least from the Oval Office. The guy's a clown. He is the class warfare knows no bounds. He's not ashamed of it. I mean, there is no hiding the fact that the current occupant of the White House is seeking to engage in utter class warfare, contempt for those of us who produce, on one hand, he talks about creating jobs and stimulating the economy. On the other, he's vilifying the very same people who create jobs and stimulate the economy. It's the we-they syndrome. It is the us versus them. It is the rich versus the poor. It is utter class warfare. It's amazing that he got away with it. I suspect that tomorrow there's going to be quite a bit of outrage at this speech. Those fat cat donors, I suspect that he's going to be minus quite a few of those coming up. The speech was an utter rant, at most disjointed, mostly because he didn't have a teleprompter to rely on to deliver his horrid speech. The current poll has the anointed one, Chicago Jesus, at 42% versus any Republican. And that's the latest Rasmussen poll. And he has launched into class warfare. It's kids versus corporate jets. It's those of us who are making over $250,000 a year. We're now considered to be jet owners, and he doesn't want to subsidize our jets. I have no jet, although I have been known to make a tidy sum every now and then. For me, because it's my own business, and I'm hit or miss a lot of times. It's feast or famine with me, but I tell you what, I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But Obama is seeking, during his speech today, he sought to blame everybody. He blamed that damn dog of his. He is blaming everyone except himself. And he has the nads to demand that Congress stay in session over the 4th of July holiday while he is planning to head over to Martha's Vineyard. He's going to party like a rock star. He's going to have a great time at taxpayer expense. Someone should have yelled out, "Will you be staying as well? Mr. President, we have heard rumors to the effect that you're planning yet another vacation to Martha's Vineyard. So will you, in your demand for the Congress to stay, will you be staying as well?" All right, because now Martha's Vineyard has turned into the summer White House. President Obama, for the third straight year, is planning to return to Martha's Vineyard for vacation this summer. The Obama administration is scheduled to spend 7 to 10 days on the island. But that's going to be mid to late August. So I wonder if Mr. Obama is going to forego the golf course for the 90th time in his presidency. and hang out in the White House and try to get the job done. Is that going to be the case this time around? Because right now, it seems to me, this guy is a loon. He has no idea what is going on. His new term for people he wants to tax more is not fat cat bankers now. It's jet owners. He said in his news conference today, and I quote, "I think it's only fair to ask an oil company or a corporate jet owner that's doing so well to give up that tax break. I don't think that's real radical." Idiot president, Mr. Obama, you idiot. Corporate jets are not owned by individuals. They're owned by definition by the corporation. The corporation consists of many people. And ultimately, the shareholders own corporate jets. That is a fact. That is not my opinion, Mr. Genius President. Now, corporate hierarchy, CEOs, CFOs, those like, they get to use that jet. But those jets are not owned by individuals. Donald Trump owns his jet because he pays for it with his own money. But most corporations lease a corporate jet or buy it, and it's owned by the corporation, not the individual. So now by asking private jet owners to give up tax breaks may not be that radical. Would be supported by the vast majority of non-jet owners or non-jet owning voters. The problem is that most people that would be subject to higher taxes the president wants aren't likely to be private jet owners like me. Someone earning $250,000 a year among those scheduled for tax increase in 2012. People like me are unlikely to afford a jet or even a few charter trips on a jet. For those of us, or for those like the president, who may not be well versed in jetonomics, here's some basic numbers that come courtesy of Jay Duxon at Central Business Jets. A new Cessna Citation entry level jet, $5 million annual operating costs, fuel, hangar space, pilots, about $500,000. The cheapest used jet, $100,000 to $500,000 annual operating costs, hangar, pilots, merchandise, fuel, that's about $1 million a year. Cost of chartering a jet, typically $3,000 an hour. Now, it is possible that someone earning $250,000 a year might spend 5 to 10% of their annual income on a single flight by chartering, in which case we could call them corporate jet flyers. But it's unlikely, even more unlikely, is someone earning $250,000 a year paying $500,000 to $1 million a year to operate a jet, even if they received it free. But this guy is a clown. Yes, he is very near. He's saying that, yes, citizen, he's saying that America is in default status, and his focus is not on stopping the bleeding. His focus is not on not spending any more money we don't have. His focus is on handcuffing those who produce. His focus is on taxing those who produce. As I stated earlier in another blog talk radio show, the majority of Americans, 50% of Americans, do not pay taxes. If you receive, if you fill out your tax form at the end of the year and you receive a refund for the full amount of the taxes that you paid over the course of the year, that means that you did not pay taxes. People like me, I pay taxes. Last year, I paid somewhere in the neighborhood of a total of $40,000 in taxes. Just me all by my lonesome. I did not receive a refund last year. I own a business. I own more than one business. I paid taxes. I wrote off as much as I could, and I still wound up writing a check to the government. I am what you would call a taxpayer. I do not receive a refund at the end of the year. I am not loaning the government my money over the course of the year, and they're paying it back to me. That's not what's happening. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Richard. I am loaned. I am. And I'm disheartened. And I'm disheveled. And I'm disenfranchised. I'm a lot of stuff. So, the President of the United States earlier today gave a speech in which he threw down the gauntlet yet again and is engaging in war, open warfare with the producers. Now, I could go back to Ayn Rand's book. The first working title of the book was called The Strike. The ultimate title was Atlas Shrugged, where the producers, people like me, go on strike. Talk about a government shutdown. When the government doesn't get any money from the producers, the prime movers, as they are titled in the book Atlas Shrugged, when the prime movers go on strike, I am one of those prime movers, what happens is no more money goes to the government. There's nobody to produce anything. Production stops. Money stops flowing. Oh, yeah, the government can print more money and distribute it, but it won't be worth anything. Think of the Weimar Republic and how men and women were pushing wheelbarrows full of money down the street in order to buy a simple loaf of bread. That is what you would see here in the United States when the prime movers go on strike. And the Obama administration has today declared open warfare on businesses. If this clown thinks that this is going to go over well with business leaders, he's certainly wrong. Business owners have plenty of money, you all, and they're sitting on that money, I think, to spite this dude. Because they have been vilified since this guy came into office. A lot of these folks contributed to his first campaign. And they are being thrown under the bus daily by this clown with increased regulation and just open warfare, which brings us to the topic at hand. Is America priming for civil unrest? We've talked about this in previous blog talk shows. Is America preparing for civil unrest? Think about it. And consider today's speech. The financial meltdown. This meltdown has unleashed a latent and emerging social crisis across the United States. And today's speech just put fuel on the fire. What's at stake is the fraudulent confiscation of lifelong savings and pension funds, the appropriation of tax revenues to finance the trillion-dollar bank bailouts, which ultimately serve to line the pockets of no one, because the money won't be worth anything. And here we have Americans acquiring guns, silver, gold, going on food stamps in record levels in reaction to the crumbling economy. Trends are indicative of a fearful public who are struggling financially and preparing for potential mass civil unrest in the aftermath of a total economic collapse. Gold has skyrocketed. I remember when I first bought gold, I bought it at $94 an ounce. I believe today it's at $1,600 an ounce. All in the wake of the Obama presidency. The rapid rise in value of gold began just days after Obama took office. Is this the hope and change we're looking for? Now, FBI records and Google Trend research shows that firearms purchases are at record levels, but that ammunition sales have leveled off, suggesting that a flood of first-time gun owners have rushed to protect themselves from the potential high crime and even civil unrest in the event of a widespread financial meltdown. American Citizen writes in the chat room that nationalization of private industry, heavy taxation on the wealthy, and moderate incomes, and universal health care equal social democracy. Well, I think, Citizen, that we're beyond that point right now. I think that when Obama gave this disjointed rant on Congress, on corporate jet owners, this increase in taxes, more spending, or as he's calling it, investing, I think that this is the speech, and this is the time when Americans are saying, enough. This guy's incapable of changing course. He's not going to change course. He can't change course. He won't change course. America is going down the drain really fast, and this guy is the author of it all. Just 2 years ago, folks, silver coin sales were on the magnitude of, exactly 1 million units a month. Now it's 3 million units a month. Used car prices have tailed off, a reflection of shaky confidence in the much-heralded recovery of the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, Google searches for how to get food stamps have skyrocketed. We now have businesses that have sprung up on the web just since the Obama administration took office. Businesses springing up selling year-long food supplies, civilian versions of MREs, and offering to store them for you until the time comes when you'll need them. It's big business. I, your humble host here on Blog Talk Radio, and the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report, have invested in two of these businesses. And we're doing great. We're doing well. Again, businesses that will sell a year's worth of food supply and store it for you until you're ready to receive it. All in the wake of the Obama administration. Now, when this guy came in the office, it was all about hope and change. And he was going to bring the whole world together. And, well, then the United States, too. He was going to bring us all together. It was all going to be so good. It was all going to be so good, wasn't it? But the guy is all about division. It's all about division. Now, early in my blog talk radio career, I asked the question, is Barack Obama the Antichrist? Is Barack Obama the Antichrist? Is he the destroyer of worlds? Because here's the thing. Let's leave the biblical aspect out of it. Let's just ask, is he the destroyer of this country? And thus, if America goes down the tubes financially, so does the rest of the world. So in terms of being, let's say, Antichrist, or is this guy out to bring the world in general, not just the United States, to its knees financially? Indeed, Hitler did try that. Hitler tried it, and it didn't work. But yet, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, and I'm paraphrasing that. A lot of folks, they worship this guy. He's worshipped. I can't tell you how many close, personal, lifelong friends I have lost because they worship, you hear me, this man, Obama, and I do not. I don't agree with his policies. I don't like the guy. Don't you call my president names. You should have respect for the president. You should have respect. You should respect the president. He's the president of the United States. You don't call him names around me. Oh, but it was okay to call Bush names. Stupid, dumb, idiot, all of that. But this guy gets a pass. Why? He's more of an idiot than Bush ever was. But here we're back to business here. I reported last year, just after a year or so after Obama took office, that the perceived anti-gun agenda of a president backed by a Democrat-controlled House and Senate prompted a record surge in firearm sales. I myself stocked up. Troops right here and right now are being trained to deal with civil unrest and crowd control in the event of a national emergency. During the last national emergency, Hurricane Katrina, gun owners were told that no one will be able to be armed. We will take all the weapons. And even high and dry areas had their firearms confiscated by U.S. troops, police, and mercenaries. That is a fact. I gotta tell you this. Today is not the day the dollar died. Today is the day that the dollar, and indeed America, is on life support. This country is tits up and taking on water. And the president's speech today gave just one bit of hope, just a bit. And that bit of hope was that this guy is running his mouth so much that he's going to drive himself out of office. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. The C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-8255. 884-8500.
Sound the drum.
Sound the drum.
Here we come. We are the new media.
Freedom Alliance Media.
Freedom Alliance
Freedom
Media.
Alliance Media.
Where the voice of freedom will lead you to the truth.
For great rock and great talk, go to www.freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.
All right, Freedom Alliance Media. Under the heading, you're back with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. By the way, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. Now, under the heading of civil disturbance planning, the U.S. military is training troops and police to suppress democratic opposition in America. The master plan, the Department of Defense Civil Disturbance Plan 55-2, is codenamed Operation Garden Plot. Now, it originated in 1968. The operational plan has been updated over the years, over the last three decades, most recently in 1991. The plan was activated during the Los Angeles riots in 1992 and more than likely during the recent WTO battle in Seattle. Current U.S. military preparations for suppressing domestic civil disturbance, including the training of National Guard troops and police, are part of a long history of American internal security measures that date back to the first American Revolution. Generally, these measures have sought to thwart the aims of social justice movements embodying the concept that within the civilian body politic lurks an enemy that one day the military might have to fight, or at least be ordered to fight. Equipped with flexible military operations in urban terrain and operations other than war doctrine, lethal and less than lethal high-tech weaponry, U.S. Armed Forces and elite militarized police units are being trained to eradicate disorder, disturbance, and civil disobedience here in America. Further, it may very well be that police slash military civilian disturbance planning is the animating force and the overreaching logic behind the incredible nationwide growth of police paramilitary units, a growth which coincidentally mirrors rising levels of police violence. Now, let me just be clear about this right here and now. I was a served in the United States Marine Corps from 1979 until 2007. I trained the Los Angeles Police Department in paramilitary house-to-house civil disobedience quelling, the quelling of those issues, solving those problems. I trained them in house-to-house fighting and a variety. Well, I assisted in the training. Didn't do it all by myself. So I have direct knowledge of these operations. Let me just tell you this. America is preparing for what may be the inevitable civil unrest as a direct result of our what I consider to be our imminent financial collapse. Take a listen to this. It's CNN, and they are discussing the potential for martial law and what could result as a result.
Tonight about an Army combat brigade being trained to deal with civil disturbances in the United States. The Posse Comitatus Act of 1878 generally prohibits federal uniformed services from carrying out domestic law enforcement duties, except in cases expressly authorized by the Constitution or an act of Congress. Critics say the brigade's training goes against one of the founding principles of our country, separation of military and civilian government. Luis Schiavone has our report.
They've spent 30 months on the streets of Baghdad. Now the 1st Brigade Combat Team of the Army's 3rd Infantry Division is back in the USA. The Army Times reporting, quote, they may be called upon to help with civil unrest and crowd control or to deal with potentially horrific scenarios, end quote. The question arises, why? And isn't that what the National Guard does?
Infantry Brigade is designed to engage an enemy with maximum effective force and destroy it. That's not the sort of thing anybody wants to see in the streets of the United States.
Almost 5,000 strong, the brigade is based at Fort Stewart, Georgia, under, quote, the primary purpose of this force is to provide help to people in need in the aftermath of a WMD-like event in the homeland, so that were they called to support civil authority, those governors or local state jurisdictions that might need our help, that they would be responsive and capable in the aftermath of an event like this, end quote. On Capitol Hill, questions about how the Pentagon determined that a thinly stretched military with two conflicts underway could spare these troops.
That's a misuse of assets. Those assets can be deployed, I think, more efficiently somewhere else when you have the guard that you can call up on a moment's notice.
Historically, the posting is unusual. In modern history, Army troops have been used at extraordinary junctures. Under the first President Bush to contain the 1992 riots in Los Angeles, under President Lyndon Johnson in response to Detroit's 1967 riots, and in the grips of a depression by President Herbert Hoover to contain Army veterans demanding their bonuses. All actions, says historian Robert Dalek, undertaken by
unpopular presidents on edge about their capacity to lead, to vote public support for whatever it is they think needs to be done.
Lisa, the Army Times journalist tells us that the story has generated intense public interest, and 4 weeks into a flurry of questions about the report, the Army finally contacted her, and they requested that she publish a clarification that containing domestic civil unrest was not part of the 1st Brigade mission.
Louise Schiavone, thank you very much for that report. The American Civil Liberties Union is demanding information on the Army Brigade's deployment. It claims, quote, this deployment jeopardizes a long-standing separation between civilian and military government.
Time is running out. Prophecy is an easy thing.
Okay. The most remarkable thing about civil unrest, in my mind, is that we haven't had more of it. Politicians are making a mess of this country and much of the rest of the civilized world. We know it. They know it. And they know that we know it. But we don't feel we can do anything much to stop them. That right there, that alone is the precondition for civil unrest. When people are frustrated and politicians are nervous, like our current occupant of the White House. Worse, that was how things stood before our recent financial scare. This most recent recession, before polls on both left and right launched the largest mass transfer of wealth in history, transferring our wealth, what was left of it, to the left and the right's friends on Wall Street and in the banking industry. In other words, that's how things were before things got bad. Now, a lot of folks are talking about the ongoing catastrophe. Even if we're in a momentarily sunny mood, which we are not, almost nobody is talking about the logical, indeed, maybe even the inevitable consequences of cynical or desperate politicians abusing an already fed-up populace. We're talking about civil unrest here, folks. The president's speech today did nothing to quell that sort of thinking. Nothing. Nothing at all. All that did was put fuel on the fire. We have a caller in on the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report, 317. You're on.
Hello, Dr. Jones. This is Steve from Indianapolis again, calling in.
Steve.
How are you doing tonight?
All is well. How are you? Where you been, guy?
Just working hard, you know, trying to earn a living for a change.
Well, I'm glad all is well. I understand that completely. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, if you look at the global value of the gold, it's about $6 trillion. So as we've been inflating, the Federal Reserve been inflating the dollar, gold is up as asset protection. When people buy gold, it's not necessarily producing jobs in the global economy. But if we weren't inflating the dollar, that money probably be shifted more towards job creation.
Mm-hmm.
And small business creation is the lowest since 1983. We also have, $1.2 trillion in regulation costs. So there's a lot of different strategies. You know, we already talked about we need to produce more oil.
Yeah.
And if we produce more oil, that will create jobs by bringing the cost of living down. So there's a lot of different strategies to get this back on, the economy back on track. But, yeah, Obama, it's just, he's either going to raise taxes. He, the same old rhetoric. It's you know, he's not going to change. You know, it's just.
No, he's not going to change, and I don't think that we're going to get back on track with this president in the White House. Obviously, the guy has some issues with people who produce. You know, in an NPR interview in 2007, Obama stated that the Supreme Court never addressed the issue of redistribution of wealth after the civil rights movement had calmed down just a bit. Obama clearly has in mind to do the Robin Hood thing, take from the wealthy and give to the poor. The problem, one of the many problems with that, is that those who aren't producing are the ones who would be the beneficiary, and those who are producing, well, they're being punished. And
we already live in a socialist country, and I say that on radio shows, but a true free market doesn't have unemployment. A true free market doesn't have welfare, food stamps, Section 8 housing. A true free market doesn't have those. We work from January to June to pay taxes. You add up all the property, state, local, income, excise, all the different taxes we pay. You know, we work from January to June just to pay taxes in this country. So people claim we're a capitalist nation, but we have a lot of protection programs. You know, free market doesn't have Social Security and all this now. So, it's kind of hard to get that across to people. They think we live in a capitalist country, but it's not a free market as Ron Paul would like it to be. It's more of a mixed economy. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah, we can save the current system, but it's just going to take a lot of different strategies, and we need to stop inflating the dollar. You know, now they're talking about getting rid of Fannie and Freddie.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kicker on that. They've been doing congressional talks. I've been watching it on C-SPAN, different things about getting downsizing Fannie and Freddie for 10% a year and eventually abolishing. That means you'll pay 20% down on the house.
Yeah.
Problem with that is the savings rate is so low right now. What that'll do is 70% of the economy is consumption based from consumers.
Yeah.
So if we had to put 20% down to buy a house in the future, that means the economy is going to go down and crash even further because people are going to be saving and not consuming.
Yeah.
And then because that kills the construction. And it's a lot of different things they're doing, but it's just like Thomas Jefferson said. He said, if you let central banks run your country, first they're going to rob you through inflation, which was 2008, the real estate bubble. Then they're going to rob you through deflation, which the Federal Reserve's been doing. And people that had perfect credit couldn't get loans. And they'll wake up homeless on the continent your forefathers conquered. So, but instead people are obsessed with war now. This is the thing, see, and I mean, I'm a conservative libertarian, but we're obsessed with war, the video games, the movies, the books. It's a fascination with going to war. And see, this is the thing. They can't, okay, we're for limited government, but if we provoke World War III, then it's going to be total government. In World War II, the government took over all industry, and there was no private sector in World War II. So if we keep provoking different nations, Russia, China, whoever, then that could be the launch of World War III. So, people want limited government, but nobody wants to sign up for the draft. These guys have been doing, 10, 20 tours, doing the same wars, 15 times back over and over and over. I don't know, Mr. Jones. Do you agree with me on the foreign policy?
I do agree on the foreign policy issues, and I think mostly on the left. The left is disenchanted with this president as a result of his warrioring, for lack of a better word. They expected that we would be out of Iraq altogether, and mostly out of Afghanistan. And certainly not at all in Libya. Cynthia McKinney's making a big row out of Obama, who's a black man, bombing an African country. No, she doesn't say that it's an African country. She says Africa in general. So she's making a big deal out of it. So I believe that the left is really disenchanted with the president in this area, because they believe that all the money being spent in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and right now in Libya could be better served to help, poor Americans. And
I got
so,
a secret for you, Mr. Jones. I got a real big secret for you. And this is what we talked about on another radio show. Obama was not a Democrat. And the reason why is, he's not anti-war. He's not a Democrat. He's a socialist, warring type of president. His policies is very similar to Hitler. Hitler was a socialist, but Hitler also went to war. And if you look at the definition of world war, it's usually four or five different fronts, even though, right now it's a small war. But he is not a Democrat. And I've been hearing conservatives telling people on the radio, stop calling him a Democrat, because you give him credit when you call him a Democrat. We need to call him a socialist.
Well, that's
he is not anti-war. He's not a true Democrat that's anti-war. He's just like Hitler. But the only reason why is because he's a socialist that believes in a lot of war.
That is a fantastic point. I had not considered that until now. I really want to thank you for that. You're exactly right. And making the contrast between Obama and Hitler, although in some cases would be considered extreme, even for me, you're exactly right, and the analogy holds up, and it makes perfect sense. He is not a Democrat. You're absolutely right. I don't know why I didn't think of this myself. He is all about everything that's contrary to what America stands for and is all about. And to his credit, and to our dismay, he said that he was going to do everything that he said he was going to do. He's doing what he said he was going to do. So when folks say that, they didn't sign up for this, and how's that hope and change working out for you? No. This is what folks voted for, this guy. And he is absurd. And and quite frankly, today, like as I stated earlier today, when he started talking about all this, when he was all this whole disjointed, completely, utterly, almost nearly incomprehensible rant that he went on about the rich and the wealthy and his two daughters and corporate jet owners and all that craziness, I could do was smile, because the guy just keeps putting his foot in his mouth, saying really stupid, dumb things. I was barely upset by it. Usually I don't even like hearing his voice. But I couldn't help but stifle a smile, because he continues to put his foot in his mouth. It used to be where when he said really dumb, stupid, anti-American, socialist, Marxist crap, I used to become angered by it. But but now it's like, okay, we have less than a year left until the election. Dude, keep talking. I'm saying just keep talking. Keep talking this craziness, and you're going to be gone. We won't have to worry about you at 2012. Unless some sort of a miracle happens, this guy isn't going to make it. He's not going
to. I think they might do? I don't mean to cut you off, Dr. Jones.
No, go ahead.
But what they might do is they may not raise the debt ceiling to crash the economy, then they may blame it on the conservatives. So that may be the last bullet in the chamber to try to get him reelected is, we'll pull the plug on the economy. We won't raise the debt ceiling. And then we get to blame the Republicans. And then when people don't get their benefits, then they're screaming and shouting and hollering and hooting, then we'll blame it on the conservatives. And they may try to use that. When this debt ceiling issue comes up in August, they may try to use that as their final leverage against the conservatives. You follow me?
Yeah, I do follow you. And you know what? You could be right. But here's the deal. Even here in America, with the But with the way things are going now, the majority of Americans are deeply concerned about our debt. The majority of Americans are deeply concerned about the amount of debt we're in, the amount of debt that's piling up, and the polls show that. So, what I'm getting is that if the debt ceiling isn't, it's not going to adversely affect the Republicans as much as it will the Democrats. We do have a certain segment of the population, a large segment of the population, who want their freebies. They want their free stuff. But those folks
are
Democrats.
Yeah, but this is the thing, Dr. Jones. I mean, this is the thing, though. See, when we cut one point, if you don't raise the debt ceiling, then the $1.6 trillion, that's slashed from the budget. So what will happen is a lot of benefits won't be coming to the people. And then that could cause a double dip. But on the flip side, then if they stop inflating the dollar, then money could be, you know, that's on the sidelines could be come back into reinvestment. It could balance itself out. But if you notice the attitude of Obama, like he doesn't care about a debt ceiling. He doesn't have the urgency. So I'm thinking he may let it go to hell and let the people feel the real hell just so that everybody depending on those benefits will be fiercely against the conservative, especially when the Social Security gets cut, the Medicaid, Medicare, a Head Start, food stamps. If they let it all, if they let a lot of things, we get to blame it on conservatives, and then he'll be like, yo, if you want this to continue, then go ahead, vote for the conservative. See, have you noticed Obama acts like he doesn't even care?
No, of course he doesn't care.
It's something, that's what I'm telling you, man. It's something, he's got an agenda behind this. His attitude is just passive.
Right. Common Sense Talk wrote in the chat room just now that I suppose he means the Democrats. Well, he's explaining who they are. They will always blame the GOP. Dem, rich, poor, black, white, as long as we look at each other and not the government. Yeah, I think he's right about that. But, hey, I think also that when the polls are heavily in favor of not increasing the debt limit, when America is, when it's so very one-sided that Americans are deeply concerned that America is on the verge of financial collapse and spending its way into oblivion, that we need to stop the spending, I think that that would blunt whatever gains this administration would gain as a result
of
not increasing
the
debt limit.
Dr. Jones, they did a second poll. The second poll was that people want the spending to stop, but they just don't cut my stuff. That's another poll, too. Don't cut my stuff. So it's like when the hammer hits the finger, then they're going to be like, don't cut my stuff. But they'll be like, no, don't increase the debt limit. Then when it hits their family, then they're screaming and shouting. So I don't know, Dr. Jones. Obama is slick, man.
Well,
he may let it go to hell, and then say, hey, if you want your benefits to continue, you'll vote for me. See, they might play that type of game. And people on Social Security are more broke than ever. And that if we lose our seniors if we lose that base of seniors voting conservative, how can we win the reelection? And that's why this debt ceiling thing is, you know, because seniors talk the talk, but we have to see the walk the walk. We have to see these seniors vote conservative. That's what we need to see.
Well, there is no doubt whatsoever that that the Obama administration, Obama himself, if poll numbers are at an all-time low. And to your point and the point of Common Sense Talk in the chat room, there is also no doubt that Congress, all of Congress, is somewhere around 21-22% in approval. You could be right. Common Sense could certainly be right. I hope that you're both very wrong. But you know what? the thing about some of the things that I'm seeing in the chat room and the things that you're saying is it's not about how you're not talking about your feelings, which is what most Democrats do. You're talking fact. You're speaking logic. And and logic and facts are irrefutable. So I certainly hope, you know, that this clown of a president we have keeps running his mouth and keeps engaging in class warfare, us against them, and all of that, because all that's going to occur is his donors are going to dry up. He's going to have to keep selling the White House chef and auctioning off a dinner with him and Joe Biden for $5, you know, and all of that stuff he's got going on. His base is leaving him. He's got the small group of folks who are still, you know, worshiping him as baby Jesus. But, you know, America is turning away from this clown in droves, and he is completely and utterly desperate, which is what we'll talk about on tomorrow's show, the desperation of this administration. But right now, the situation is that I'm deeply concerned about civil unrest in this country. And the fact that the Obama administration is so very much caught up in pitting us against them. Us against them. It's us versus them. It's the rich versus the poor. It's the fat cats versus the poor people. You know, one of the reasons why we have folks going into 7-Elevens, Walmarts, and just taking things, going into a restaurant in Chicago on the north side and taking things, and robbing and pillaging and taking stuff, is that they're emboldened by this idea that, you know, you have more than I do. Yes, you worked hard, you sacrificed, you spent your own money to make yourself, you know, to take care of you and your family, to make money, to have really nice things, but you don't deserve those things. I want those things, and I'm going to take them. The president of the United States, because I can see a scenario where you have people robbing and looting homes and saying that, hey, you know what? I deserve this. You're a fat cat. You're a millionaire or a billionaire. You don't deserve these things. The president of the United States says that you should give some of that stuff back. That you should give me this and give me that. Or no, I'm just going to take it.
Dr. Jones, that your own point. The thing is that's how you shift a system from, you know, that's how you go into bondage. Is you have to divide and conquer. That's the strategy. You have to put people against each other, you know, because if you don't, then the people will be united against a powerful government, and that's called an overthrow. But on the flip hand, I hope whoever's president next year, I hope that he does exactly what he tells the American people he is going to do. If we get another rhino in the office, conservative, lying to the people to get elected like Bush did in 2000, claiming limited government and all this, then we are in very, very big trouble. Because if you noticed, Bush wasn't a true conservative. Obama's not a true Democrat. So we have been lied to for how many years? 11 years now? We have been lied to for 11 years now. So if we do elect a GOP candidate, he does exactly what he tells us he's going to do.
Yeah.
And I think we should go to direct democracy. I don't know if you heard it. Direct democracy, where the people get to vote on very important issues. Because, you know, we're not being represented very good. The last 10, 11 years have been a lost decade. Ron Paul said we added 30 million people, but no new jobs. That's unsustainable.
Well, you're exactly right. I am very much concerned about that. I'm not so sure that we're going to make it to the next election without a collapse of the dollar, a collapse of our financial system, and indeed civil unrest. You're seeing it all over the place.
We're
seeing where folks are going into stores and just taking things and walking right out, not running, not jumping into a car and driving off in a haste to try to escape the cops. No, very calmly walking into stores and taking things, starting fights, beating down each other, and nobody's breaking it up. Like when we were kids, I'd get into a fight with somebody, and there'd be an adult that would come up and separate us. Stop that. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be fighting. Don't do this. Don't do this. Nobody's doing that nowadays. A big fight, people get in a crowd. They get out their phones and they start videoing it. And next thing you know, it's on YouTube or on the only station that'll play it is Fox News to point out how absurd the United States and how far we've fallen. And you have already the makings. It's like the embryo, if you will, of civil unrest. Just brewing, simmering.
You're right, and this is the scariest thing. Guess who can organize the most gangs? Guess the government. There have been governments in past history, Dr. Jones, you can research this. When civil unrest, they will pay the gangs off to put them against their political enemies. And so, remember Obama said that he wanted the military security force in America just as strong as the army. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
That security force could be the people that have no opportunities, no income, no job. He could say, "Hey, we're taking over this nation. There's no more capitalism, no more mixed economy. What we're going to do is you're going to get your benefits, but to get your benefits, you're going to have to round these people up. We're going to have to take over these banks. We're going to have to, you know." See, and totalitarianism, when the total government, they will always keep the poor getting those social benefits. That's how Hitler was able to conquer so much he conquered, because he was able to keep people getting them social benefits. And that's why that Nazism fit so much, until it was destroyed by a bigger force called America. But it was able to succeed because Hitler empowered the poor people to fight in his military. And that's the scariest thing about it, because the more money you make, the more smarter you are to recognize that government is tyrannical and that you're not going to follow the orders of the government, especially when it goes against the principles of God. But poor people in this country, liberals, there's people out here will do anything to get a dollar. They will kill their own family members for a dollar.
Well, that's exactly right. What I'm concerned about, and when the president put that soundbite out there that we've got to have we cannot rely on the military to secure our national security objectives. We got to have a civilian security force, which is just as strong, just as powerful, just as well funded as the military.
Yep.
You know, for me, that spoke volumes. It will never happen. Because the funds would have to be approved through Congress, I believe. But on the other hand, there's a way for that clown to get around that too, which he's been trying to do through this 2 years of mandatory service that he and Ron Emanuel cooked up a couple of years ago. But you know what? Common Sense writes in the chat room that we shouldn't give up. That America is still the greatest country in the world, and we need to vote. We need to vote, and we need to get this guy out of office. But I'm concerned about in the interim, because we still have just under a year to go before, or just over or under a year to go before the next election, and that's a long, long time. And
he's too calm. Obama is too calm. He looks like he acts like he has everything. And it's like, I know he's got something up his sleeve. You know that feeling, Dr. Jones, when somebody has something up their sleeve? He's not done yet. He's gonna pull out a trick. The devil, you know, this Bible's talking about, you know, the devil has so many different tricks to pull on you, try to blind you from the truth, the media. I hope that the rich people that do produce the jobs, I hope that they're not working in a concerted effort. I hope Bush and Obama's not working together. I hope there's no global government conspiracy, because if it is, then we're in deep trouble, especially if the job producers are in with them. But if they're not, then we have a real good chance. But I hope they're not, because when Bush shook Obama's hands and smiled, this was just a bad feeling. Did you remember that, Dr. Jones, when Bush shook Obama's hand?
I do remember that, but I tell you what, I don't necessarily put too much stock in that. I mean, I don't think they're buddies at all. But I will say this, I don't think so at all. But I tell you, I will say this. I think that you're absolutely right that Obama does have some. He still has a couple of cards to play, and he's holding them up. He's gonna play them sooner or later. But in the meantime, is it possible that along with Obama's rhetoric today, along with his insidious, insightful remarks, in my opinion, he's inciting violence and unrest here in the United States with the speech he gave today. Let me give you an example.
Yes.
I live in a house. I live in a house right now. I have a couple of residents. I got one in South Florida. I got a farm in Ramseur, North Carolina. House in Georgia, and then a house in Alexandria, where I am right now. So check this out. I'm at the farm. I got a bunch of cows on the farm. I got 44 cows right now, and I got a couple of cars in the driveway. I'm not there a lot of the time, but there's somebody checking on the property. Suppose some folks who are liberal, who are Obamaites, come across that property and say, you know what, this guy's got too much stuff, and we're going to go ahead and take some of that. He must be one of those rich folks that Obama's been talking about, one of those fat cats who needs to give some of his stuff or give up some of his stuff so I can have a better life. He doesn't need all this stuff. He doesn't need all those cows. He doesn't need those two cars. He doesn't need that damn tractor. He doesn't need all that hell, that hay. He doesn't need the house. Nobody's there. And they just squat on my land, kill my cows, chow down, drive my rides, run my tractor into a ditch, and they'll say, hey, well, you know what? Obama said to me, what I got from Obama's speech was that this is mine. You don't need this. This is mine now. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that those of you out there who have even a little bit, you don't have to have a farm in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina. I mean, how many people have heard of Ramseur, other than today? But you don't have to have all that. All you got to have is, some money in your pocket, a nice watch maybe, or maybe even drive a decent car. And what is to stop someone who is an Obama true believer from saying that you've got too much and I want what you've got and I'm willing to take it? Stranger things.
You're right. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, Dr. Jones. Property rights is the last thing that we have.
Yes.
If government in past history, they say, hey, you join the military, you can get a free house. They've done that in the past. They distributed property. The state took over all the land. They distributed it to the soldiers. They promised them gifts. Just fight in the military for our cause, and we'll take over. We'll become a centralized government. And that's the thing, Dr. Jones. I can see it. So, I mean, Mary Kay Baxter talked about it. I mean, there's so many people talked about our property rights and this redistribution of wealth. It is just unbelievable that so many books aren't read, and this, the redistribution of wealth and making the world standards of living climb, the whole world, is bringing the whole world up through technology, military force, get the dictators out of it. And that might be why they're in Africa.
Yeah.
They have to form an African Union and get the dictators out, because they can't have their world government until Africa's is the dictators are thrown out of there. So there's a reason why we're there, but if we lose our property rights, Dr. Jones, you're absolutely correct. We will lose everything we have, and we will become the enemy. They may even, I even heard they may even do roadside bombs here in America. Hopefully that's just a conspiracy theory. But if there's roadside bombs in America, then they claim Dr. Jones did that roadside bomb.
Oh, no doubt.
Steven did that roadside bomb. You know, they'll blame that we were the terrorists. We're on the no-fly list. We need to be rounded up. And we were actually the patriots that Thomas Jefferson talked about. And nobody was there to help us. And they laughed when our property was taken away. And this, remember, we talked about this last one of the shows a long time ago. Don't laugh when my house gets raided, because your house could be next.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a volatile mix here in the United States right now. We have a disenchanted populace. We have high gas prices, high food prices. Inflation is going up. We already have had a militia movement where the militia movement throughout the United States believes that the government is tyrannical. They are already out there. They've been out there for a very, very, very long time. Now you have this other group of people who believe that the government is now – just normal, average, everyday folks who believe that the government is now tyrannical. And then you have the left who believe that they are owed their just due – from what Ayn Rand called in her book, Atlas Shrugged, the prime movers, those folks who create wealth, who work hard to produce. And so now you have folks who would seek to move against those folks and ask that they give more and more of their wealth. So you have a trifecta here. And a simmering cauldron, just boiling, ready to boil over.
Oh yeah.
And this is what we talk. This is what this show is all about tonight. You know, Obama's speech this afternoon did absolutely nothing to simmer things down. Nothing.
It's the rich man's fault, and that's and you. I heard you can never take freedom away from a. It's very difficult to take freedom away from a prosperous nation, like in the 90s, trying to take people's property rights away in the 90s. Man, those guys would have threw you out of office because things were so good. But when the economy crashes, people will get evil. I mean, the Bible talks about people being so evil that your mind couldn't even imagine. The days of Noah, so evil. You couldn't even conceive of the evil people would do to be able to eat and live and drink fresh water. They will people will kill you, you know. And the government saying, hey, you know, socialists will lift you all out of poverty, you know. And another thing, Dr. Jones, not all liberals or Democrats, not all of them are broke. In Massachusetts, we have a lot of liberals over there that are filthy rich. But for some reason, they agree with the doctors that we need to give back to the poor and that America is a cancer on the world, and we're in the way of the world's progress. We have a lot of rich liberals as well, Dr. Jones. They're not all broke and poor. And they actually agree with Obama. And I'm like, we even have people that have resources that's on his side. I'm like, it is just crazy. Oh, my God. I don't know what we're going to do, Dr. Jones. We got some people that just brainwashed, just totally brainwashed.
We do. And I got the idea to do this show based on a couple of calls I got from a couple of Oath Keeper friends of mine. I'm a member of the Oath Keepers. And also a couple of Marines who I was closely associated with during my career, who have given me some information that the administration has stepped up its plans, or rather that the government itself has stepped up its plans to update its civil unrest doctrine and planning. Well, this information came to me through a couple of channels just earlier this week. And so I thought that this would be a great idea to put it out there for a show, given that apparently the United States government is is very much concerned at this time, right here and right now, that civil unrest is imminent based on the weakened economy and the fact that the administration is not looked upon favorably by a great many Americans. And, moreover, there's a rumbling, a lot of murmuring going on in that militia movement that the Obama administration is seeking to rule. You know how those folks can be. I mean, the slightest provocation to take up arms against the government is all they really need.
I hope they never do that. They should never try to assassinate Obama. Our extreme right, our Alex Jones people, none of the militias should ever try to assassinate Obama, because that's all they need. Because, see, look, we'll be squeezed in. NORTHCOM, Northern Command for North American Continent. They're going with Canada troops, Mexican troops.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll come in from Mexico, come in from Canada, and squeeze us in. They should never try to assassinate Obama, and I hope they never do, because that will make, that will really cause the civil unrest to spark, and then people will be like, well, we need the troops on the streets. See, that's what I think. I think when we see military soldiers on your streets, Dr. Jones, that's when it is all over. When you see tanks rolling down your street, that's when the switch has been flipped. Until we see soldiers on the street, I see a lot of them in New York. A lot of United Nations soldiers driving around New York City. Have you seen that, Dr. Jones? I don't know why they're there. It's a whole bunch of United Nations troops, and I do not like it. I want them out of my country. Go home.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust you. There's a lot of German people from Germany, European, all these different United Nations troops. And it's like, where are you coming from? You don't have any jurisdiction here. You need to pack up and go home. That's what I really feel about it.
I don't trust them. Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Common Sense writes in the chat room that America needs to pull their heads out of the sand, pull their heads out and stand up for what's right. And that doesn't mean blowing up, foreigners with drones. He's exactly right. But here's the thing. As you stated earlier, folks don't want to give up their little piece of the pie. When push comes to shove later on down the road, when America has to enact its own austerity measures, Americans are going to rebel against it. Everybody wants their piece of the pie, and they've been sucking at the government teat for ever and ever, and they're not going to want to give up their portion of the pie, their stuff. And I think that, and this is why it's going to be so very difficult for Republicans to convince the American people that we need to make a change. And I'm afraid that the Republicans are going to be so caught up in maintaining control of the House and gaining control of the Senate next year that they are going to go along with what this administration wants to do to a small measure so that they can, they want to lose the battle so they can win the war later on. But I'm not so sure that there's going to be time, that once the war is won, I mean, will there be anything left?
Yeah, Obama's like a preacher to me. You know, he'll wait until something bad happens. See, I told you the rich man was out to get you.
Yeah.
He put people up. Yeah, he'll stir them up. That's what he'll do.
Like,
he'll wait for something.
He's like the Pied Piper. He's like the Pied Piper. And he's leading us all down the road and through the river and over the hills down over a cliff. He's also the emperor who is buck naked. He is buck naked. The guy doesn't have the brains God gave a goose. He keeps showing it time and time again. And folks are complaining about Bachman making a gaffe or Sarah Palin making a gaffe or anything or that sort of thing. But when this guy says something really stupid, like he visited 57 states and he still had two more to go, when he says really, really dumb, stupid things, and he says he instead of using the word feet, he says feets. I mean, how many feets do you have? I mean, I only have 2 feet. I don't have feet. But I mean, these are small things, but they are gaffes that nobody talks about. But Bachman can make a mistake, Palin can make a mistake, and they're deemed to be stupid. And this guy makes stupid mistake after stupid mistake once he's away from that teleprompter, and he's still considered to be a genius. Chris Matthews said the other day that Obama had 160 IQ. How the hell would he know that? You know, I mean...
Well, yeah, he's very slick,
they keep propping him up.
Right.
Yeah, they keep propping that guy up as being this great genius, this great intellect, and he keeps proving folks wrong time and time and time and time again.
Yeah, he's a liberal, and it's very dangerous. We're at a very dangerous time, and these guys, so many people playing these video games and shooting them up, and they think war is fun and killing people is fun. And the more, another thing, the morals of our country have fallen, the values. And you can't have a strong nation when the moral values are trash. See, they can kill me, but they still have to answer to God.
Yeah, that's exactly
they can
right.
Kill the, they can kill the true patriots, but we'll go home and be with the Lord, and they still have to answer to God. Because, you know, the words that we say, they're forever. They can never kill a true patriot. Because we live forever. Those people, they're going to have to answer to God, even if we live or die. That's why we have to put our faith in God, get the spiritual house in order, because we can't depend on other people to take care of us. We have to put our faith in God and vote and make sure we go down there and vote and try to change our country. But, you know, that's the last line of defense, the faith in God. See, and that's what they don't understand. See, you know, good people, they're gonna live forever. These guys don't get that. They think, oh, we'll just kill my body, but you're not gonna take my soul. So, you know, Dr. Jones, you know what it is, man. It's we got the moral values is just trash. That's got me very concerned. And these people will pull the trigger just because Obama says pull the trigger, you know. Let's round them up. Let's distribute the property. I can see exactly what these people are going to do, Dr. Jones. And I hope nobody tries to assassinate them. I think that's the biggest mistake any conservative militia can do is try to assassinate Obama, because that's going to stir everybody up.
Well, you're exactly right, and he's made it this far. He's made it well past the halfway point of his administration, and nothing like that has occurred. And thank goodness for that, for a lot of different reasons. And I'm grateful for that. I don't want to see any harm come to the president of the United States, not any president ever. But I would like to send his black ass back to wherever the hell he came from. I don't care if it's Nairobi, Kenya, Chicago, Hawaii. He can even go and get himself a nice pad in Martha's Vineyard. I don't care. I want him gone. And by gone, I mean I want him on a plane after the next election on a one-way last ride on Air Force One. No. I want him on Air Force Two, headed out of town. Bye. We'll see ya. It
so
has
what do you
not
say
been
about
not.
Everybody, all the people that call you racist? And they call me racist, too, when I don't support Obama.
Well,
they,
I tell you what
do you
they
say
call,
to those people?
They call me a lot worse than racist. Tell you what, I mean, we're talking about friends and family. I want to thank you so much for calling in. I do appreciate it. You are great. Please come back tomorrow because we're going to have a lot more of this discussion tomorrow. Thanks so much for the call. It was great. You really helped bring everything into focus as to what we were talking about. We are
good
out
night,
of time.
Dr. Jones.
All right. God good bless. Night. Less than 30 seconds left. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for being here. I really do appreciate everybody listening, everybody coming into the room. It's been great. We are out of here. We are out of time. Not even time to play the theme song to say good night. We're done. Good night, everybody. Thank you for being here and come back tomorrow.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific, 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
We are Freedom Media Alliance. Freedom and entertainment defined. Find us on the web at freedommediaalliance.wordpress.com.